the tabernacle. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle. Exodus 26 and verse 1. Having spoken of the ark and the table and the candlestick, God now speaks of the tabernacle in which they were to be housed. The Lord had already spoken of his desire for a sanctuary where he could be in constant presence among his people. Chapter 25 and verse 8. Now the detailed plan is given. His people are to build it, but all the parts and materials are God chosen to speak of his beloved Son. The construction represents the apprehension of the saints to this revealing of the Lord. Moses had already been ordered to make the tabernacle, the pattern of which was shown in the mount. It was to be a habitation for God to dwell in. And this tabernacle was first of all a type of the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true tabernacle, which God pitched, and the greater and more perfect one, as we see in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 2, and chapter 9 and verse 11. In him the fullness of God dwells bodily. In him the glory of God is seen. And in him God grants his gracious presence to his people and accepts their prayers and their praises. The length and breadth of the tabernacle are given in divine measurement and therefore full of meaning. A belt of sockets of silver was to be laid down as a solid foundation. Silver speaks of redemption. Into those sockets, boards were to be tenoned to make things stable. The boards were to be of the same choice shipping wood which, as we have seen, declares our Lord's humanity. Behold the man. That manhood is clearly displayed in our Lord's birth, in his manger bed, in his weariness when traveling, in his weeping at the grave of Lazarus, and in his thirst upon the cross. There were to be curtains around about the tabernacle, curtains of fine twined linen, the threads of which were 24 times doubled, according to Yaki, the Jewish commentator, making thereof great consistency and stiffness. The strength of those curtains pointed to the strength of our Lord and the whiteness of them to the purity of our Lord. And all the various colors of the covering pointed to his graces or his attributes, and even more to his suffering. And the coverings over the whole tabernacle were to preserve from all the dust and rain and just showed the care of God over his beloved Son and over his people. But these boards around the tabernacle to which the curtains were attached were covered with pure gold, setting forth the Lord's deity, which also is clearly discerned in the angel's song, Christ the Lord. So the wood of the boards spoke of his humanity and the gold covering of his deity. And the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen in the days of his flesh, in the stilling of the tempest, in his raising of the dead, in his making the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. It is also perceived in his victory over death and hell and the grave, and in his mounting to the throne of heaven. Oh, as the forerunner cried in Isaiah 40, "Behold, you are God." The boards thus display our Lord's dual nature and proclaim the incarnate God. His perfect manhood qualifies him to say, and his Godhood provides the power, making him the perfect Savior. The bars bind it all together, and we should take note of the couplings and the clasps and the rings, all of which are with the bars, to bind into a corporate whole and compact its solidarity. And that speaks its message to the Lord's people too, of which the tabernacle is a secondary type. This is how the saints should build what is of God in Christ, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, binding things together in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Within this house, four pillars rose to separate the inner chamber. And these point to the four Gospels and to what our Lord was in the days of his flesh. These pillars too were set in silver to show that what is set forth of Christ in the Gospels is based upon his redemptive death. The veil which separated and hung on the four pillars, which was our Lord in figure, was lavish, strong, and costly. That veil barred the way, but it also gave entrance to the Holy of Holies. But only God's beloved Son could hang there and face both God on one side and the world on the other side as the perfect one. Now the coverings of the house were also four. The first was of brilliant colors, sparkling with cherubic forms, to make the ceiling of the Holy of Holies on the inside a magnificent heavenly sky. This is the Lord in all his glory, which glory can be seen only from within the house of God. The second covering was white, to show forth the Lord's absolute innocence, purity, and holiness. The third was red, to testify of his blood sacrifice, for he who would save must bleed and die. This sacrifice alone could atone for man's guilt and shame. The fourth was to be a very rough covering, and of lowly guise, good for protection against the defiling influences of the world, but from the world's point of view, no beauty that they should desire him. For we should not leave this tabernacle without noticing that there was no floor in the house. That speaks a solemn warning. Nothing of Christ may lie beneath our feet. No type of him that may be trodden down. And yet another lesson. The door of the tabernacle into the outward court stood open at all times to remind us that the Savior waits to embrace all who will come to him from every part of the world. Now listen to the words of Mr. Samuel Medley. "Come, let us sing the matchless worth, and sweetly sound the glories forth which in the Savior shine. To God and Christ our praises bring, the song with which the heavens ring. Now let us gladly join, now let us gladly join. How rich the precious blood he spilt, our ransom from the dreadful guilt of sin against our God. How perfect is his righteousness, in which unspotted beauteous dress his saints have always stood. His saints have always stood. Great are the offices he bears, and bright his character appears, exalted on the throne. In songs of sweet untiring praise, we would to everlasting days make all his glories known. Make all his glories known. And soon the happy day shall come when we shall reach our destined home and see him face to face. Then with our Savior, Master, Friend, the glad eternity we'll spend and celebrate his grace, and celebrate his grace. Amen and amen.